Morning, Trace Creek. We're sad that we're not in person this week, but with the snow behind us and the ice on the ground on the road and in our parking lot, it has been dangerous conditions. So sadly, we had to cancel the in-person services today. So we'll be doing everything online, but we'll meet back together Wednesday, weather permitting. I know it's a little bit different format this morning, but parents. We do have something for your children this morning. So, if you would look at our previous post online on Facebook, you can see all that. You can get them all set up and before you watch this or as you're watching this, and that way they can do some activities and some Bible lessons before that. It's something that you can do with them. So, as far as announcements go, I want to remind you of Grief Share that starts on February the 7th at First Baptist in Waverly. And I also want to remind you to fill out the member info form if you haven't already. Those were the little papers in the hymn slots and in the Bible slots that you saw last week that you filled out. We have put that on Facebook about a week ago or so. You just look back on our page. If you haven't filled that or the information post, we're trying to update our church management software, so please fill that out if you get a chance. But this morning we're going to be in Mark chapter 7. Because I really feel like I need to preach our next Matthew message in person. But Mark chapter 7 was in our reading for this week. For those who are following the Bible reading plan that many of us have been going through, and this Bible reading plan, guys, has been phenomenal. I've loved it. Look, it's been a great tool to help keep me on track of reading through the Bible in a year. So if you haven't picked that up, we've posted a link to it. We have it at church. If you've missed some readings, don't worry about it. It's not for you to just check off the boxes. The purpose of this Bible reading tool is for you to honestly just be in the Word, and it gives you an organized way to be in the Word. So pick that up if you're not doing a Bible reading plan. If you've, like I said, if you've missed it, we're about to approach our 5 days that of the month that we don't have a plan on those 5 days. You can either use that to catch up or just use that to meditate on the word that you've already been reading. So, but we're going to be in Mark chapter 7 this morning, starting verses 31 and following. And I want to read it and we'll pray and we'll ask God to help us as we focus on his word this morning. So Mark chapter 7 verse 31. Then he returned from the region of Tyre, and he went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and who had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Let's pray. Father, the only way that we can understand your word is if your Holy Spirit helps us. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us as we meditate on your word this morning, as your word changes us and transforms us and challenges us, Lord. We pray, God, that you would have your way with us, Lord. Even through this strange format being online, Lord, we pray that you would do amazing things in our hearts, amazing things in our lives, through this passage of scripture and through your living and active word this morning. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we approach this text, we have to remember that Jesus is doing a miracle, a supernatural feat. But anytime that Jesus does a miracle, anytime he does something supernatural and miraculous, he does not do it just for the miracle. He does it because he points to something bigger. It may show his authority over sickness, over death, but oftentimes his miracles relate to his bigger mission, namely to redeem his people and to reconcile them to God. And this is one of those miracles. And we can learn a lot from it. So here in this passage, Jesus is healed right before this Syrophoenician woman in the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he goes southeast into the Decapolis region, where he's met by a group of people with a deaf-mute man. And we are going to read through this text. We're going to talk about it, what it means for us, and how it points to salvation. So the first point that I want you to get is this, that Jesus uses us in the salvation of others. So if you look at your text, I want you to read verse 32. It says this, "And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment," or he was mute, he couldn't speak, "and they begged him to lay his hand on him." Now I want you to look at the wording here. They brought a man to him who was deaf and mute or had a speech impediment. Who were the people? Who are they? Well, it's the people from the region. Obviously, some people who knew the deaf-mute man, who were friends with the man. And what did these people do? They brought him to Jesus, and they begged Jesus to do something about him. Now, I want to point out five different things about these people. Number one, they obviously cared for the man that they brought. They realized, number two, their own inability to do anything for their friend. They cared for him, and they thought, I can't do anything for him. He's deaf, he's mute, I can't do anything about it. They realized, number three, that they and believed that Jesus could do something about their friend's condition. Number four, they led their friend to Jesus. And number five, they begged Jesus to do something about it. Now, did the friend, did the deaf-mute man even know what was going on? We don't even know, but we do know that he trusted his friends enough to go to this stranger. And I want you to think about it. This deaf-mute man, he can't really communicate that well. His friends are maybe trying to tell him that they're bringing him to this man that could heal him, but how do you even communicate that to this deaf-mute man, this deaf man that can't even hear and may not even be able to read? So how do you communicate this? And so we don't know whether or not he knew that he was going to be healed or that he was going to Jesus, going to this healer, but he trusted his friends enough to bring him to this stranger. And friend, likewise, we're tasked with caring for people who are in a spiritually deaf condition. We all know someone that we love deeply, that we care for deeply, who does not know the Lord. And we all know someone who we deeply love that has not yet trusted in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we may think that we can fix our friends, right? Our friends may have problems. The friends that don't know Jesus, they may have issues that they're going through. And we might think that we can just fix them. If they would just get away from the situation, if they would just walk away from this relationship, if they would just quit the addiction, if they could just run with the right crowd, then maybe their problems would be fixed. And we might be tempted to fix their problems with a hefty dose of moralism. But you have to know that we can never fix somebody. You can't fix your lost friends. You can't fix your friends that don't know Jesus. And the good news is that we're not called to fix them. Instead, we're called to follow the example of the friends here in Mark chapter 7. We need to realize that the only one that can do something about their condition, our lost friend's condition, the only one that can do something about that is Jesus Christ himself. See, only Jesus lived this perfect life that they could never live. Only Jesus took the punishment that was meant for them. Only Jesus could conquer death and purchase for them eternal life, reconciliation with God, a new heart and a new transformed life. Only Jesus could do that. The friends not only knew that Jesus could do something about it, but they actively, get this, they actively led their friends to Jesus. They took him by the hand. They showed him the way. And friends, what good does it do us if our spiritually dead friends, if we admit that only Jesus can help them, but we don't show them the way? And that's just cruel, Right? If I had a cure for a disease that my friends were suffering with and I did not share it with them, or show them how to get it, I would be amongst the cruelest of people and I would not be a very good friend at all. So the question is this: your lost friends, your friends that the people that you interact with that don't know Christ on a saving basis, how do you show them the way? Do you have gospel conversations with them? Do you tell them how Jesus can transform their lives? Do you tell them what Jesus has done for them? Furthermore, if you look at these friends begged Jesus to do something about this man's condition. And the word here is strong. They made a very serious plea to Jesus for the man. And not only do we need to show our friends the way to Jesus. Not only do we need to have gospel conversations with our friends, but as we have gospel conversations with our friends, we need to pray for them, that God would move on their hearts to save them. So here's the question: do you pray for your friends? Do you ask the Lord to move on them? And that's point number one. Point number two is this: is that not only does Jesus use us in the salvation of others, but Jesus shows compassion on those he saves. He shows compassion on those he saves. I'm going to look at verses 33 and 34, and are amongst the sweetest verses in all of Scripture. Verses 33 and 34, he says, taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Now, seems strange, doesn't it? It's amazing how many biblical scholars miss this pretty obvious point. Not that I'm claiming to be smarter than any biblical scholars, but sometimes you can look at patterns and you can look at things and write them off as certain historical explanations or something and not actually put yourself there. And I believe that some of these biblical scholars have failed to put themselves there because I think they missed this obvious point. I've seen pages written about why Jesus does this little ritual that he does to heal this man. It seems like he's doing these strange movements. He sticks his fingers in this man's ears. He spits and he touches his tongue and he looks up and he sighs. Is this some kind of magical incantation or something? What is this strange series of movements? Is this kind of some kind of spell, some kind of movement and ritual that heals this man? And some scholars are just baffled by this, but it really takes putting yourself in the situation, in the scene, to understand what's going on. See, this man knows no language because he can't hear. Jesus is doing what is Jesus doing when he does this? When he does these gestures? Now, he's not doing some kind of incantation. I'm suggesting to you that he's speaking this man's language. Now think about it. He brings this man aside privately. Look at verses 33 and 34. He brings this man aside. He's talking to him and him alone. And he can't use words because the man can't hear. Man probably is not that great of reading lips, and so he can't read his lips, so to speak. But Jesus takes this man and he puts his fingers in his ears, blocking them as if to say, you are deaf. You cannot hear. And he spits. And he puts his finger on his tongue as if to say, you cannot speak. Your speaking is flawed. And then he looks up to heaven and visibly sighs as if to say, and what's about to happen to both your speech and your hearing is going to come from above, from God himself. And he says in Aramaic, this Aramaic word that's commonly spoken in that region, he says, Ephphatha, which means be opened. What Jesus is doing here is he's speaking compassionately to this man. He's letting him know what's going to happen He speaks his language. He meets this man where he's at. And friends, it's no different today. Jesus will meet you and us and our friends, our lost friends, where they are at. He speaks in such a way to us where we will understand because he is compassionate toward us. He speaks our language. Number three, not only does Jesus compassionate to us, and not only does he use us to save other people or in the salvation of other people, but number three, Jesus creates new understanding for those that he saves. Look in verse 35. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. This man who was healed, he wasn't just made well. He didn't just gain the ability to hear and to speak and then had to learn a new language. No, he was healed and he understood the language all at once. God created not only the physical ability within the man, but he created understanding within the man. And so it is with all who come to the Lord in a saving way. We hear the gospel as God speaks to us where we are, and he creates understanding within us to respond to him and understand the language in which we're hearing. And you, Christian, if you ever doubted that you can hear the voice of God as he speaks to you through scripture, you are mistaken. Because he has not only saved you, but he has given you inside of you the Holy Spirit, who makes you understand, who makes you able to understand and obey his word. And we have confidence in this. And fourth point I want to point out to you today is that Jesus deserved praise for his saving work. Look at verse 37 with me. And they were astonished after this happened. They were astonished beyond measure, as saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Now, the witnesses, the friends, they see this miraculous thing has been done. And what is their response? Their response is they say, "He has done all things well." This is reminiscent of the garden, isn't it? God says in the garden, after he creates each thing, he says, "It is good," or "It is well." And in the creation of man, he says, "It is very good." And here we have that same sentiment. He does all things well. The Creator is creating again new life. And here's where we end, friend. Jesus is able, willing to create within us and within our lost friends, our friends that don't know Christ. He's able to create new life. And this new life is that he gives is like nothing else. See, he is a good and compassionate Savior. He uses us to reach others. He is worthy of all honor and praise from us. When he does this miraculous work in us and in our friends and in those around us and saves them and brings them to him. And you might be asking, you might be saying, "Look, I've lived with my sin for all of my life, and I'm a slave to it. And I don't know how God can set me free. I don't know how God can do this miraculous work in me." And God is in the miracle working business, friend. He is wanting to create new life in you. And he is wanting you to trust in him and trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he can do it. And friends, you might have lost friends or Christian believers. You might have lost friends that you've been praying for and you've been pleading to the Lord for. And I'm going to encourage you, do not stop pleading to the Lord. Show them the way. Show them the gospel. Show them the beauty and the wonder and that Christ is trustworthy and that we can place that they can place their trust in Christ for salvation. And so friends, commit to that today. Commit to pray for your lost friends. Bring them to Christ. Show them the way. And pray for them that they would have new life. And if you are one that does not have new life, just reach out to us and we would love to pray with you and show you the way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word, for your compassion. Thank you for your miracle working, life giving work in us, Lord, in our lost friends and connections and people that we know. Father, help us to be faithful in bringing our friends to Jesus and showing them the gospel and showing them who Christ is and that he is worthy of our trust. Father, help us, Lord, to be faithful in doing your work. And we love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning online. I know it's a little bit shorter than normal, just because of the format. And then speaking of Jesus's miracles, it would be a miracle, if you did not hear my children in the background as I'm recording this. But I appreciate you logging on online this morning to worship with us, to look at God's word with us, and we will see you guys very soon. Hopefully Wednesday, and if not, next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.